This is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts. We are all now living through a difficult time. More than ever, we are being called to turn toward the light of Christ and to follow Him. So our work doesn't stop. In fact, it's more important than ever. Please consider making a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, between now and Divine Mercy Sunday, April 19th, to help support our efforts to offer spiritual guidance, love, and hope to the world. Hit the donate button at discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the Discerning Hearts free app. Thank you from all of us at Discerning Hearts, and God bless. Discerning Hearts now brings you, during this Lenten season 2020, which is occurring during the global coronavirus pandemic, a daily reflection by Monsignor John Essif. Over the course of the next 30 minutes or so, he will reflect in the beginning on the scriptures of the day, and then we will have a conversation about what is occurring in the world, in the church, and in our own personal lives. We now present Monsignor John Essif. How are you today, Monsignor, on this, the first Friday, Sacred Heart Day?
Yes, what a beautiful day. And that it's as the coronavirus continues in its grim reaping and the suffering. And, you know, when I saw the governor of New York and his brother who has the coronavirus, and when I saw them together, there was really like it's touching deeply into so many families and people, and especially when we have maybe like the myth is being blown apart that it doesn't get in, that it can't affect young people and vigorous people, and that they're not immune to it, so that. That this suffering that's going on and the panic and the fear in the face of this disease that God has permitted and that has shut down all this activity, this kind of mad running around, so that it has slowed down and so many people are confined to their cells, as it were, to their own quarantines, to their own individual spaces, and as we become more and more under the grip of this virus. We can look at the statistics, and it just seems as if we're going to be in this for a while. And I think the fact that we have this time because God has given us this time. Like, I have four people who are on retreat, a bishop, a priest, and two lay people, married and single. And what they do is they each go into the depth in silence, in their own hearts, where they're going to find God. And they find Him. And there He is. Ever since they... Not when you became a bishop did He enter into the throne of your heart. Not when you became a priest. Not when you were married. In your single life, He came into your life when you were baptized. And the Holy Spirit came upon each one of us. And the Holy Spirit, then Jesus came into each of us. You see, you are the temple of God. He, Jesus, is in you. You are now His body on earth. Just as truly as He came into Mary when the Holy Spirit came upon her and entered into her body here on earth, when in the incarnation he came to earth 2,020 years ago, he has come into you at your baptism. And you are Christ in the world, a unique, a specific, an irrepeatable Jesus sent by the Father. When you were baptized, and when I was baptized, when you were baptized, Chris, and each one of who was listening who has been baptized, that's when he came into this temple of yours. And his heart is reigning in you. You are, and he is on the throne of your heart, in your heart. Your hearts are one. And the Father is looking at you. Where is he? He is in your temple. God is the Father. The Father and I are one. And he is in you. And the Holy Spirit is within you. You are the temple of the Trinity. When Mary was assumed into heaven, where did she go? She went to the Trinity. And so when you pray, you actually are entering into the temple and the presence of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, and the Blessed Mother Mary is there. And all, of course, the angels and saints. But let's begin with this introduction to this temple into which you're going to enter. As you go into this temple, you know, the doors of the temple are you're going into them as you enter into them. One of the first things that the church teaches us, and I would love to have us, why is it that when we first enter into the presence of God, the church says, teach my people how to call me and what to say, because one of the first things that running around has done, you know, with this coronavirus has stopped us. And now we're talking about going where? Not to St. Peter's in Rome, not to your parish church, not to your cathedral church, but to go into the temple of your own heart. Because there is the Trinity dwelling. I think we may have so overemphasized the Eucharistic presence, and it is real, and he is there. But he is real in you and has been ever since your baptism. And when you come into that presence, oh, you're here? Oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't realize, you know, when Sunday after Sunday you gather in your parish church and the church says to you, confess your sinfulness. That's one of the first things that when we gather in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, as you were baptized into that Trinity, and when you take water to remind you as you enter into the church, to remind you of your baptism in the name of the Father, that might not dull you and grab your conscience, but the consciousness now that I have, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. You know, I've just been away from your presence, distracted by all the things around me. And so as I enter into this temple, now in silence, now in my room, now in the quiet of my own heart, as I enter into it, oh my God, you're here. Oh my God, forgive me. And one of the postures that happens is the person bends over. In the presence of God, the tendency to bow and to take this humble stance. I confess to you, Almighty God, and I'm really sorry, Father, and I am sorry, Jesus, and I am sorry, Holy Spirit. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned. And the sinfulness that we experience is the awareness that we have not and we have neglected the presence of God who is there and has been with us every moment of every day of every year and as with and is with us right now. You see, God, you are in me and I am in you. Remember I said yesterday that I would like to emphasize that presence, because today the church gives us a selection from John's gospel. And as we read into the gospel today, in the gospel of John, it's in the 10th chapter, the 31st to the 42nd verses. And so Jesus is attacked because he says, I am the Son of God. We are not stoning you, the Jews said, because you have made yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If it calls them gods to whom the word of God came and scripture came and cannot be set aside, can you say that the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent into the world blasphemes because I said, I am the Son of God? When I tell you today that you are the Son of God. Now that sonship means that you are in Jesus. Supposing you're a woman, such as you, Chris, deeper than your sexuality is Jesus in you. You are Jesus. You are in him. When you were baptized, deeper than your sexuality, deeper than your father and mother, they are not your father and mother, I am. When that seed that fertilized that egg that was in your mother, I was the one who made you. Psalm 139, I knit you in your mother's womb. I made you. You don't belong to them. You belong to me. All life is from me. I created you. They had sex many times, and there were many seeds that entered into your mother, but not this one. This one became you. And you and I made you. I am the life that began you in your mother's womb before you were, when you were conceived. But you were conceived in sin. And you were conceived alienated from me. It was because my son suffered and died on the cross. And that's when you were baptized, that you truly became one with me. And that's why I came down from heaven, so that you and I could be one. And I was sent by my Father to suffer, to die, and to rise And I did this in the year 33. But you, my child, John, Chris, whoever you may be, you are my child in this time. You are now suffering. You are now dying. And you are now rising. You are living my life as the bishop, as the priest, as a married woman, or as a single person. It's me in you. And so how many times have I sinned against you? And so when we begin our Mass, and when we begin our prayer with the Confiteor, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned. And then we're asked to beat our breasts. Through my most grievous fault. Every single human being, that bishop does it. That priest does it. That laywoman and that lay that's on retreat now, and every one of us does it. Why? Is it just like an empty gesture? Through my most grievous fault. It's a heartfelt awareness that I have sinned. And each one of us, as we examine ourselves in the presence of the Almighty, that we have sinned. What have we done? Is it that He who is in us, He never sinned. He has called us to sinlessness. He came into our hearts because He wants us to be pure. It's this journeying that we do to Him. And each of us cries out, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. And we plead with God because, and especially during these Lenten days, this is what we cry out to God and from the depths of our hearts. And usually the sins that I believe go so unnoticed is that so many times, and especially when we're ground to a halt by this coronavirus, and we're ground to a halt and stop the work, stop the schooling, stop going to here and there and sports and diverting yourselves with splitting yourselves away from me. I am in you. I want to do everything, but it's what my Father wants me to do. And what have we been doing? We've been doing what we think we ought to do, or what I want to do, when I do what I want to do. Every child of God who is truly Jesus, and in Him and with Him and through Him, does the will of the Father. And so each one, oh, thank you, God, for giving me this time to pray. To what? To listen to my Father. And if Jesus is in you, and I believe He is, in everyone who is listening to me, who is a Christian, He is there. It's Him in you that this prayer is meant to touch, so that you will listen to Him who is listening to His Father. Because it's He was sent to do the will of His Father. If I perform them, these are the works that Jesus says that He's doing today. Even if you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may realize and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. You see, what Jesus is telling us today is He is in us. It's what I'm doing in you and what you're doing in me. And what you're doing is sinning. You're deviating from what I want you to do. And now you have come to me, and I'm listening to you. And it's the Holy Spirit who has given you this opportunity to enter more deeply into me. Who are you? I am who you are. You and I are one. I am Jesus, and I am one with you. That's my identity. And I am doing the same thing I did when I came to Earth 2,000 years ago. I am doing my Father's will. So that each of us, as we enter into prayer, enter into the listening of what the Father is saying. The Father is saying specifically through each of us what he wants each of us to do and how to live. I want so much to live in you. You and I are one. As the Father is in me, so I am in you. I am the vine. You are the branches. Remain in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. When you were just came off this coronavirus kind of twirl and whirl, and now that you're so quiet and you're able to silence yourself and settle down for just a little bit inside the temple of your own heart, now I'm able to hear you. Who? The Father. Just listen. Because the Father, without him, you can do nothing. And so you may be worried about who's going to pay the bills the next couple weeks, but I'm so happy as your Father that you're off that treadmill so that I can just talk to you again. I love you so much. Infinitely do I love you. You are my beloved child. You are worth more than anything in this world that you could have gained during this time. And I have slowed this down so that now, if you are coming to me at this time, and I really believe many of God's children are through your podcast, Chris. If you are coming to me so that I can speak with you, then I am your loving Father. I love you with an infinite love, but it's because of him who is in you. It's not because of that old man. The old things have passed. The new things have come. And so I want to live in you and have you live in me. Jesus, at this time of his life, was, as I asked you to go back and study the scriptures. You see, it's the same in the scriptures with Jeremiah today. Because he was a man of God, and he had come into the world, and he was teaching the teaching that God the Father wanted the Hebrews of his time to hear in Jeremiah 20, verses 10 to 13. He tells us that in this reading, I hear the whispering of many. Terror on every side. Denounce, let us denounce him. All those who were my friends are on the watch. for any missteps of mine. Perhaps he will be trapped. Then we can prevail and take our vengeance on him. But the Lord is with me, like a mighty champion. My persecutors will stumble. They will not triumph. In their failure, they will be put to utter shame, to lasting, unforgettable confusion. O Lord of hosts, you who test the just, who probe the minds and hearts, let me witness the vengeance you take on them. For to you I have entrusted my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has rescued the life of the poor. God loves us, not only in heaven, but in this world and on this earth. This coronavirus is not with us now because God does not love us. It's because God loves us so much that he wants us to hear what he's saying. In the midst of this time, we have time to turn to the inner temple in which he is. He has slowed us all down and closed the doors of the churches and opened wide the doors of our hearts so that we can enter in and listen to the Father and listen to the voice of Jesus and listen to the Holy Spirit who is in us and listen to the prayers and the assistance, finally, of Mary, who's trying to get our attention for so long a time. And so on this first Friday, this beautiful day, we cry out to him, have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. Hear our prayer, for we have sinned.
Final thought, Monsignor?
The response in today's Mass is Psalm 18. But I really believe that the psalm that's in our breviaries, Psalm 51, have mercy on me, O God, have mercy, the Psalm of David. When David was so busy and really so lazy and committing adultery but murder of Uriah and taking another man's wife, that terrible sin that David, the king of Israel, performed. And when God then brought him to the awareness of his sin, the psalm he sang to God was Psalm 51. It's the psalm of the sinner. And I believe as we enter into the temple of glory who is within us and has wants us to listen to his voice, I believe that we can pray that. Look up Psalm 51. Pray that prayer today. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Monsignor.
Thank you.
I hope you have a great day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Reflections by Monsignor John Essif, Lent 2020. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, We hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com, and in particular, please share this particular reflection with them during this difficult period in the life of the church and of the world. And join us next time for Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff.